I love singing, as many of you might already know. As children, virtually everyone learns simple songs. They may not be religious, maybe things like Old MacDonald Had a Farm, or Mary Had a Little Lamb, or Hickory Dickory Dock, or Jack and Jill Went Up the Hill. I don't know what you can remember from your early days. I can also remember in my teens travelling back in the coach from a guide camping weekend and leading various crazy guide songs to pass the journey. Some of you might remember this one. Oh, you never go to heaven. Anyone remember that one? Right, so you can echo me. Oh, you never go to heaven. In my dad's car. Because my dad's car won't get that far. It's got a chorus as well. How about, oh, you never get to heaven in a biscuit tin, because a biscuit tin has got biscuits in. And then there was in a jumbo jet. Anyone know what that was? Because the Lord ain't built no runways yet. And it went on and on with all sorts of verses. And then in my 20s, I can remember playing through a hymn book with all sorts of other people, just singing along on an evening in Lee Abbey in Devon, if anyone's ever been there. And on Parkwood, along the road, we did a 24-hour sponsored sing, and we worked our way through the whole hymn books to raise funding for St Paul's Church, which is now built and standing there. So throughout our lives, we encounter a lot of different styles of song. There's all sorts of music, isn't there? Rock, hip-hop, pop, country, ballads, musicals telling stories. Some of you have probably seen Phantom of the Opera or The Sound of Music or Lion King or Mamma Mia. And then there's jazz, joyful improvisation, or very solemn blues. So many styles of music. I wonder what you prefer. And there's so many different themes to the songs. They might be about joy and pleasure, or they might be about pain and hardship. They might be about true romance and love, or they might be about broken relationships and unfaithfulness. There's some on social issues and activism, some on wealth, some on desire. According to the internet, some common themes are coming of age and growing up, discontent, friendship, heartbreak, and even death. Well, our psalm today began with this line, "From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly." In our Sunday services in church, in the great assembly, we have themes, don't we, based on God and the Bible and living in relationship with God, and our musicians try and select songs that fit. And as we gather here for songs of praise, we choose the songs about God that have meant most to us over the years. Songs that might have brought us joy or hope or stability or comfort. Songs that declare truths we can rely on about the one we love and serve. So the theme of our praise is indeed God, his character and his deeds, his faithfulness to us, his love for us, and our response. I've read the whole Bible several times over the years, yet I'd never really noticed these verses that we had today from Psalm 22. I knew the beginning of the psalm. My God, why have you forsaken me? It begins, and Jesus quotes those words on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from the words of my groaning? Bearing in mind that the Psalter was Israel's hymn book, they're quite serious words, aren't they, with which to begin a song. And I think they remind us that worship songs, like all other songs, are about every area of our lives, not just the joyful parts. We can be completely honest before God. And perhaps there's something about singing our disgust or our disappointment or our frustration or our pain that might help us face it and deal with it, especially if we're offering it to God our loving Father and inviting him and trusting him to act in our situations. Psalm 22 continues with verses about mocking and insults. A man so despised he feels like a worm with no one to help. A man surrounded by danger, strong bulls, hungry, roaring lions that tear their prey, wild dogs and villains. It seems the original writer of this psalm had had pretty hard times, and yet he hung on to his faith. The verses of the Psalms do lots of buts and yets, twists and turns, as he wrestles between the pain and difficulties he's got at that time and his expectations of a good God. He appeals to God, rescue me, deliver me, save me, you in whom I've trusted since my birth, my God since I was in my mother's womb. He reminds God and himself that God has acted in the past, that God is enthroned, that God is the one in whom his ancestors trusted. They trusted in him and he did deliver them and he didn't let them down. There's an expectation that even if things are pretty bleak currently, God will act on behalf of his people. Most psalms, even if at some point they're recounting pain or problems, also recount who God is, what he's done in the past, what he will do in the present and the future, and focus on his faithfulness and his goodness and his sovereignty. And so in these verses we had, dominion belongs to the Lord. He rules over the nation. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. And who's singing this praise in this psalm, that in the verses that Pauline just read? Is it only the rich and the prosperous who are doing very nicely and are happy and thriving, so it might be easy for them to thank and praise God? No, it's not just them. It's the poor also. They get a mention. They'll eat and be satisfied. Or as the message puts it, down and outers sit at God's table and eat their fill. Those who are seeking the Lord are also praising. Maybe they don't know him fully yet, but even while they're searching for him, they declare truths about him that they've already discovered. And it's not just God's chosen people, the Israelites, that are singing God's praises in this psalm. It's not just them, it's all the ends of the earth, it says, will come. All the families of the nations will praise God. The message puts it like this: all the power mongers are before him worshipping. All the poor and the powerless are there too, worshipping, along with those who never got it together, worshipping. And even those dying, those who can't keep themselves alive, are worshipping. They're praising God. I said earlier that this psalm begins with, my God, why have you forsaken me? Which Jesus quotes when he's dying on the cross. It appears God hasn't answered. His hands and his feet are pierced, verses from this psalm. His bones are on display. His clothes are divided up. And Jesus isn't rescued from the cross. He goes through an agonizing death. And yet this psalm goes on to say God hasn't despised or scorned the suffering of his afflicted one. He hasn't hidden his face. He's listened to the cry for help. Jesus would have known the whole psalm. He would have known that it ends, future generations will be told about the Lord. They'll proclaim his righteousness. They'll declare to a people yet unborn, he has done it. Yes, Jesus went through agony, but he was not forgotten or forsaken by his Father, because ultimately God triumphed when through Jesus' death all evil was destroyed, even death itself, and Jesus was raised to new life, bringing eternal life to all of us also who believe in him. we might not get to heaven in my dad's car, or a biscuit tin, or a jumbo jet, but we will get there in Jesus Christ, whom God has raised from the dead, because he has done it. We might experience difficult times as Jesus did, but even in our trials and our troubles, we can continue to turn to God in honesty and faith and wait with certain hope for that victory that Christ has won. We can continue to think of that God who has done it. That can be the theme of our praise. And the psalm ended with, we can make that known to future generations, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, all who come after us, who will in turn make it known to more future generations until the day comes when we will all look on God face to face and praise him. We'll all fall at the feet of the one who has been the theme of our praises down the centuries. And so we come month by month to our songs of praise, and we enjoy having God as the theme of our praises.